Welcome to the Valley Outdoors Radio, brought to you by Vexus Boats, building dreams with an unequaled passion for excellence. And now, with our hosts, Eric Holson, Don Cleaver, and Ava LaRue.
Welcome to the Valley Outdoors, everybody. Glad to have you guys with us this week. Lots of cool stuff going on, as always. Ava, you're here.
I'm here.
Don's up, gallivanting, doing something. We don't know.
What are you He's got do? Real important things
yeah.
going on, so...
And we'll just fly through the show without him.
It'll be fine.
Yeah,
we've done it before.
We'll done good.
We'll do it again.
Hang tight, everybody. We got a lot coming up. Stay tuned for more of Valley Outdoors. Eric Olson here, professional walleye tour champion, avid outdoorsman, and host of the Valley Outdoors Radio Show. Aquatic invasive species, or AIS, threatens not only our rivers and lakes here, but everywhere we boat. They come in many forms, and they love to hitch a ride to the next body of water on your boat or trailer. Join me to stop the spread of AIS by cleaning all weeds and aquatic material from your trailer before leaving the launch ramp. Drain live wells and clean areas that don't drain completely. Plus, don't forget to pull the plug. Clean, drain, dry. Together, we can make a difference.
Does your family need a break from the daily routine?
Hello, I'm Dr. Spruce. If you or someone you know needs a healthy dose of nature, visit discovertheforest.org and trade in the big screen for the big blue sky by visiting a local park or forest near you.
Hiking, picnicking, swimming, orienteering, climbing, admiring wildlife, or inhaling fresh air may result in heightened creativity, feelings of joy, harmony, satisfaction, and a euphoria that can only be explained as oneness with the natural world. Whoa.
How's it going?
Going well, actually.
Are you enjoying this summer-like weather that we've had
this weekend?
Well,
yeah. It was kind of one of those rut-row, you know, week ago, thinking, uh-oh, the world is crashing into fall and we're going to, you know, be in winter and nothing flat. And now I'm looking at, you know, this coming week, the weekend's going to be, I'm so excited. I'm heading out to the boat this weekend to have some fun and maybe catch some of the last good-looking salmon before they get all dark.
Sure.
So that'll be good. And it's the river is dropping like a rock level wise. So that's going to, once it stabilizes, that'll be kind of nice. So yeah, we're out last week fishing for league event. It was rather a little bit of a struggle.
Was it?
But when you have dramatic changes, it can be a little bit of a struggle too. So no big deal. But yeah, kind of an enjoyable week. And I don't want to be the bearer of bad news, but I don't know if you looked on almanacs and multiple reports and different models, but it looks like they say that we may have measurable snow by the middle of October.
Really?
Yeah.
Great.
I'm happy about that.
I don't know. I
ski.
Yeah. I've got trick-or-treaters though.
And your point is, doesn't mean it's going to stay on the ground, but it'll be I'm count me in.
I'm so excited for our Halloween costumes this year, too.
Oh, I don't doubt you are. I don't doubt you are. Well, since the summer's not over yet, I've got something that'll give you the creeps. You ready for this?
Sure.
The Lone Star Tick is expanding its range. Here's what hunters need to know. Biggest reason that most everybody doesn't like ticks is they have diseases. From a hunter's perspective, growing concern is called the alpha gal syndrome, AGS, spread by the Lone Star Tick. AGS is an allergic reaction to meat caused by sugars, galactose A1, 3, and the sugar present that's in tick saliva. After the bite, some people develop antibodies which cause severe allergic reactions, hives, nausea, and anaphylaxis to meat and dairy products. In some cases, the allergic reaction is permanent, and the only effective treatment is to stay away from meat, dairy, and other animal products.
Ew. Great. I would suffer.
Historically, Lone Star ticks were confined to the southeastern United States, but warming temps and land use shifting and an overabundance of deer have allowed populations to expand north and west along the Atlantic coast, Lone Star ticks are present as far north as New York, Maine, and Midwest. They exist in Missouri, Illinois, Indiana, Kentucky, Tennessee, and Ohio. So I know a lot of people do go down to those areas and go hunting. Now, however, they're expanding into Michigan, Wisconsin, and Minnesota. Cherry on the top of the whole thing. They're more aggressive than the more familiar black-legged deer tick and the two species of dog tick. The ticks have been described as a cross between a lentil and a velociraptor.
Great.
Yeah.
Love that.
Got it. Got to be happy about that. AGS most common in the Ozarks in southern Missouri, Kentucky, Tennessee area. The survey found that 42% were entirely unaware of AGS. Another 35 weren't sure how to manage it. There was over 110,000 cases in 2010 to 2022, and confirmation likely significantly undercut that because nobody knew what it was. Some say there was over 450,000 people affected by it. So this fall, even late season pheasant and deer, they should be advised to put repellent on your clothing, like DEET, Picardin, lemon eucalyptus oil, and permethrin as well. And spray your dogs at the same time. Those who might point out the obvious disadvantages of being smellier when it comes to deer hunting, consider the trade-off is being able to eat venison for years to come.
Jeez.
Oh, man. Said
I like how it says that those are more aggressive when ours are like super aggressive already.
I know.
Great.
Allergists from the University of Virginia, they said they identified 24 patients with the antibodies to the alpha-gal syndrome. They've been described as allergic reactions developed 3 to 6 hours after ingestion of pork, lamb, or dairy. 2 years later, they reported the antibodies increased 20-fold. And they concluded tick bites might be the primary cause. Ugh. I'm telling you, Ava, that's creepy.
We need more possums.
Yeah, we... Okay. You know, I'm going to save this next story for next week. It's coping with lure addiction.
Oh, is that what you have?
Well, you do know that lures are not meant to catch fish. They're meant to catch fishermen, right?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Well, that's exactly right. I am excited, though, for our guest today. I am very excited for Tom Wynn. He had a big deal that came out of this last week. And you can catch him all year long if you wanted to learn more about forward-facing sonar. We've had him on the show before. He's a fellow Vexus-sponsored angler. Love my boat. And, of course, you got to look at the video that he had. And that's on NWT going out the first morning. So THU.com is where you'll find it. And you can get an online course on forward-facing sonar. He's one of the best at it. Amazing, amazing, and a super nice guy besides. So going to have him on right after the break. And encourage you guys to hang out because it's going to be good. And you're going to learn some stuff. Maybe about the tournament and what he did. Maybe a little bit. But a lot of things, what's going on out there at Green Bay. Hang tight. Stay tuned. More coming right up. Welcome back. Thanks for hanging with us, guys. We always like to have you check out all of our other media things that we have going on, right, Ava?
Yeah, we have lots going on.
Yeah, we do.
Like, it's kind of surprising.
The Valley Outdoors. We've got the interactive maps on there. You always check us out there. Where else?
You did thevalleyoutdoors.com.
Yeah,
did you do that?
That'd be correct.
Facebook.
You got it. I'm like,
wait.
I got
which
that.
Which one did he say?
It's Facebook. Please like us.
It's the weekend.
I got to throw you off this week.
It's the weekend.
I love it. I threw you off. What can I say?
I was like,
perfect.
I must have blacked out.
You did. You did black out. The look on your face was absolutely fantastic.
I'm doing a few things. I'm just doing a few different things.
Your point is what?
I'm just saying.
She's on her phone and doing the board and answering calls.
Doing music, making sure you sound good.
Yeah, well, that's not possible.
I try.
That's not going to work. good luck with that.
Thank goodness you have a guest
today. Speaking of sounding terrific, and I think the results of this person's recent event is what sounds pretty terrific. Previous guest in the show, a friend of mine and fellow Vexus angler, Mr. Tom Wynn. Are you joining us? Are you there? Can you hear me now?
I can hear you. thanks for having me on again.
Thanks for being able to jump on, buddy. So for those of you that don't know, we had Tom on early. We were talking forward-facing sonar. We were talking a lot of fishing stuff, talking Vexus boats, everything under the sun. And it was prior to everything going on with the tour events, really. You know, we talked early mm-hmm. in the year, and we hung out at the boat show a little bit. And when the season kicked off, we think, hey, things are going to go all right. Did you expect the result? Because I'm not saying what the result is, but did you expect the result that you got this year at the last event?
No. I mean, I don't ever go into a place expecting, you know, really one thing or the other. Like, I just go in, like, I mean, I want to win every single tournament I enter, but fishing against, you know, the best touring anglers in the world and also the best locals who jump into these individual events, you never go in expecting real positive results. You just go do your best. And I definitely was not. I mean, and especially this year, you know, starting off on two river systems, which are not my strengths, but I love them at the same time because I'm learning a ton, but definitely didn't expect this outcome at the end of the year.
So to prevent people from totally driving off the road because they're like yelling at me, what did he do? Tom won the National Walleye Tour Championship on Green Bay and did it in stylish fashion, I might add. Day one, you got five fish for 43 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
They had a blow day. So mm-hmm. we'll talk about how that went down and how that impacts. But you had 40 anglers that fished day one. They cut it to 10 in that top 10. The second, it'd be the actual second day of fishing, it would be qualified as the third day. You got 38, 12. And mm-hmm. you won by exactly 11 ounces.
It was a close one. It was a close one. Close tournaments are obviously really exciting, you know, but
for who?
I don't like them. I don't like them when I'm up there.
Same here. When I won Oahe, I'm like, yeah. I knew what the other guy that was in second, I knew he had a big fish, but or two big fish, but he didn't have the backups, you know, the slots to go. And I had perfect slots. So, you mm-hmm. know, I had 22 inch fish, but then I had perfect slots. They were 19 and a half and they're all fat. And, mm-hmm. you know, I'm up there and I've got the black bag and I've got the black box and, you know, nobody knows what I have. And mm-hmm. I was going out in the lead day one, and I'm like, oh, boy, this is going to be mm-hmm. – I'm sweating, you know, how that goes. And,
yep.
you know, one fish at a time, and I'm like – and the tournament director, Sonny Reynolds, at the time, he says – I'm in my third one. He says, the fish better get to growing if you want to win. and I know how that goes because you start doing that. We won the championship in 01 out here on the river. And, you know, you go into the lead and you know the second place guy, then you're starting to count down. Okay, I have this. What's they gonna have? What do they have mm-hmm. to have? Were you going through mm-hmm. that in your mind when you're like, okay, I've got this much in order to win? Were you thinking about that as the day went on? So let me give background to everybody. So when you go out in the lead, this is the last day of the event. You've got 10 anglers. There's somebody that's in second place. So the second place angler had 37 pounds. So you were up 6 pounds on him, right? Just, well,
yeah.
roughly 6 pounds.
Well, he had 39.
37, 13, yeah. actually.
Oh, is it? Okay.
Yep, 37. Isaac had 37 pounds, 13 ounces. You had 43.01. So.
Yeah, but after day one, it was Chris Berglund sitting in second place. After day one.
Oh, there it is. Yep, my bad.
Yep.
I went for the yep. order of it. Yep. 39 pounds. So you had 4 pounds,
mm-hmm.
4 pound lead.
Yep.
Right. Mm-hmm. So when you yep. get that first fish in the box, are you starting to figure out what does he got to have to beat me?
Oh yeah. before I got that first fish in the box. I was like, okay, I'm going to need roughly, you know, and so my mind going into the second day, I was already thinking, I need, if I catch X amount of fish, Chris is going to need this. If I catch this, Eric or Isaac's going to need this. So, you know, Chris is in second. He's not in the, you know, he was like right on my tail, so I was concerned with him. But
then you got two good guys in Isaac and Jake.
Jake.
And
but
Eric
then you
McQuaid.
Got Isaac and Eric who live there, make their living off of Green Bay, that know, you know, they guide and they win tournaments there all the time. So those are the guys I was like, okay, this is what I need to stay away from them. And so, yeah, each fish that came in the boat, I'm like, all right. I just kept whittling down. And, you know, it ended up working out in the end, thankfully.
Well, usually, you know, when we go into a tournament, if you match your weight, you'll move up, right?
Yep.
So in your case, there's no moving up. You set the bar.
Mm-hmm.
And so conditions on day two were a little more challenging, am I correct?
Oh, yeah. They were. You had the residual from that blow day before, and there were still some high teens in the mid-20-mile gust that day. So, you know, boat control, using light tackle like I do, all those things were kind of a challenge. But, you know, I hear, you know, when I hear forecasts or know that it's going to be brutal out, like a rough day out, I my brain dreads it. I'm like, oh, no, not again. But then historically, I've either won or placed very high in these tournaments with the worst conditions. So I got to stop, you know, getting negative about that.
And that's absolutely right. And so for people that don't know, when it gets a tournament scenario, one of the big things that comes into play, it's like, okay, when you go into the first day, my pre-fish was this, the conditions were this, and then you have to mentally, before you even get there, you have to mentally adapt to what the conditions, you think the conditions are going to be, so you don't have to try and figure it out once you get to the spot. You need to have, okay, my drift is going to be this, or I'm going to work it up this way because the wind direction is such. Those things are big play. But the other thing, too, that comes into it is exactly what you're saying with the weather. Everybody is exposed to the same conditions.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're able to say to yourself, heck, I thrive in good conditions. And I thrived in tight tournaments. I don't know why. I don't get it. But you'd figure out a way. Or if I had a boat problem or a motor problem, and I'd overcome it in the stupidest way possible. And I don't know how it happened, but you overcome that stuff. You just buckle down. You say, okay, settle down. We're going to take the best of what we can. And in your case, it's like, hey, yippee. It's bad weather. And that's the tough part about fishing tournaments is you don't get to say, oh, it's not going to be a good day out today. I don't want to go, and I'm just going to stay in.
Yeah.
Nope, sorry.
Yeah.
However, there was a point that you had on day two that kind of put it over the top, right? It was a gale warning, if I'm not mistaken, right?
Yeah, gale warning, and the buoys, according to the buoys out there that day where I was fishing, there was the 8 to 10 footers with the occasional 12 on that day that we were canceled.
Yeah, it makes it unfishable, not to mention the fact that it's dangerous. So
yeah, dangerous. Yep.
They made the right call. I think one of the challenges that you have at that point, though, too, and you and I talked about this before, when you have a situation like that, so you have 3-day tournament. This is the championship. This is the culmination of your year-long goal is to get to the championship. Mm-hmm. The top 40 guys are there. You go through it, and you know they say, hey, it's going to be a possibility that we're going to have a blow day. And then what happens is the top 40 fish, and then they cut it to top 10 instead of having it should be a 2-day event. Mm-hmm. My feeling on it is you have a caliber of event like that. You're going to be on Green Bay. You know you're going to have problems because it's inherent. It happened to me multiple times out there, and it still continues. You need to have a backup day. Your thoughts on that?
No, I agree with that. And I think before the championship, there's a lot of us that probably should have went in and read those exact rules. You know what I mean? Like to see like what – You know, and me, I'm guilty of just flying by the seat of the pants, going to the rules meeting kind of thing, and seeing what
happens.
Trust
me, I get it.
You know what I mean? And so, like, but yes, I do agree with the, you know, the championship, especially on those big waters, that it would be nice to have an extra day built in, just in case of that bad weather. And it was in the rules that if one of the first 2 days get canceled, it's the top 10 on that third and final day. But then again, now that we all actually know this, because we had to live it, then maybe now, hopefully, that something can be, you know, changed so that all 40 of us could fish both days, you know, in that event, possibly.
One of the other things that came up as well was the fact that they had a tie for 10th place. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was a rather unique thing. They ended up calling you guys in the top 10 to find out what you guys thought. And of course, it ended up being 5-4, right? Or no, 6-4. Mm-hmm. 6-4. 6-4? 10 guys?
I think it was 5-4.
Oh, 5-4, because you only had 9.
Yep, because of the top two.
Yep. So, and apparently the top 9 guys said, or of that, 5 of the 9 said, no, we don't want the tie going to this other person. It should be only 10. So I thought that was rather strange when, you know, you get to that point, you have that kind of a situation. I think the other thing came into mind too, from my side of it, if there's a rule built in, it said, okay, in this particular case, it's the number of pounds that you had, whatever, or if it's, you know, whatever the case is. I know that's happened before. If there's a tie for Angler of the Year or a tie in a X point, then it's whoever had the most points, it goes to that. You get that place. Mm-hmm. I thought that was kind of odd. But enough of that.
It is weird.
Let's stay on the positive stuff. You caught him. You done it.
Yeah. Yeah.
How'd you do it?
Got it done.
Well, and you did it the same way you did the day I called you. We were out in the river down here. That's the best part.
Actually, just a little bit different depth of water.
Yeah, a little bit different depth, but the same exact way. And in the same spot that when I fished the championship, it was on the same spot that I was fishing in it. I only got a 7th. I didn't win it. But, hey, I had the opportunity. We had some fish on. But tell us. Mm-hmm. Tell us about it.
No. Yeah, so, I mean, in pre-fish, you know, knowing these big winds were coming and just trusting the forecast, which is hard to do sometimes, but this forecast actually held true all week. But knowing that, I limited myself with Corey Springle's help as far as keeping me in the area that would have the most stable water temps, and because he understands all of that out there. And so we just focused on the islands area from Chambers, south to Hat, up to Sisters Island. And it's a big area, very big area, a lot of water. But with that west wind, you know, we thought that would hold more consistent, and it was true, except for the side of Chambers I was fishing on day one. I only had 2 spots, and there were small spots there cut into the drop there. And I was fishing them, and on day one, I went in there, and I wasn't seeing a lot of fish, but I was seeing enough fish to be able to fish that the whole time. I never even moved from that spot. Caught
Isn't
my 43
nice?
Pounds and went in early. Yeah, it was perfect. And then we had the blow day, and I was hopeful going out there that that area would still hold its water temp, but I get out there to the very first spot, and if you guys watched that live feed before it cut out, you see I get there and start scanning right away. I get through that first spot, the entire stretch, which isn't that big, and I didn't see any life whatsoever. And then I looked at the water temp. The water temp was like 7 or 8 degrees lower, and that told me okay, these fish are gone. And so I hit the second spot, which is a little bit north of that, nothing. And then I started mentally preparing myself to zero. I literally did. I was like, this is all you got.
and especially when there's that much water to cover to try and find those fish again, it is not an easy prospect. And I encourage you guys to check it out. The video's out there. Just look under Tom Wynn, H-U-Y-N-H, championship, and it'll come up in the video. And the cool part for me was watching you come out in the video in the boat in that Vexus. Now you're running a 20 or 22?
22. Yeah, isn't 22. That impressive? Like, honestly, like I watched it back and stuff, and just going through those big waves and, man.
I know. That's the same thing I said when I first got my Vexus, and it was absolutely crazy. It looked comfortable. The ride looked comfortable. The bow stays down in the water, and you don't have that jarring, oh, the boat's out of the water, and it's going to impact. So that's kind of the tough part. Okay, we got a short period of time. Let's wrap it up and give us that final day, the final moment when you come to the stage. What were your thoughts?
I thought he'd won, Isaac. So get up there, and I get to talk first. I get to go back and get my crate, put it up there, and I was convinced he'd beat me. But set that crate up there, and slow motion, that scale started ticking up once he hit 38 pounds and it kept moving. It was like unbelievable, you know, and it wasn't even in the thought of my mind, hey, I just repeated 2 years in a row the championship. I was like, I just got this one done, you know, and it was just awesome to know.
Because you won last year.
Yeah. And so it's just awesome to know that, you know, I was still, even though I'm teaching everybody everything and everything like that, but I still am pushing
wrapped
myself
it
to learn.
Nice job. So. Well, check it out. Mm-hmm. Check it out also that Tom Wynn, he's got the Forward Facing Sonar Schools. Check that out. We ran out of time, Tom. We'll talk again for sure. Thanks for coming on. And obviously, everybody, I hope you guys have a fantastic weekend out there. Enjoy the outdoors. It's going to be beautiful next couple of weeks. Have fun and go catch some fish. Tom, go get them, my friend. Nice job.
Thanks, man.
You bet.
Thanks for listening to the Valley Outdoors Radio, brought to you by Vexus Boats, building dreams with an unequaled passion for excellence. Catch us next week, same time, same place. Have a great day on the water or in the field.